Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Otolaryngology Department here at Car Talk Plaza. What's this about?
Well, we got an interesting letter this week that I think you have to address. I mean, this is controversy that you have created, and as your loving older brother, it's my responsibility to dump it right in your lap.
Okay.
All right, well, just listen to this. Here's a letter. We get it from a guy named Robert Hensler, who says the following. Snorting is distracting. The editor of the show may want to consider not using the recorded snort every few seconds on the show. Once I spotted it as an introduced production feature, I seem to hear it all the time. It's the same snort over and over. Mm. I now find it's very distracting. Shame on you for using a canned sound effect like that on your show. Please stop. So why are we inserting that fake snort all the time?
It's not a fake snort. It's real. We don't do anything fake on this show.
No.
We would never, ever use a pre-recorded... Geez, you know, Robert might be onto something. Pre-recorded snort might not be a bad idea. The snort track. It's like a laugh track, but kind of takes it up a notch, you know? Does anyone else in the business use a snort track?
Well, no one at NPR.
Well, of course not.
Stop!
Is that what I sound like?
Evidently. So cut it out, all right?
Oh, God. I'm just trying to have fun here, you know? Anyway, if you have a question about your car or your ear, nose,
you can't throat, have fun at the expense of everybody else.
No?
It's not nice.
Well, I even went to see my friend, Dr. Franco, at Mass Eye and Ear because I was having snorting issues. And he said, don't worry about it. Anyway, if you want to call us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Bob from Queens.
Hey, Bob from
Queens.
What's going on, man?
Okay, I got a 94 Geo Prism. Simple problem, I think. simply explained, anyway. Temperature gets to 32 degrees and below, car doesn't start. Above 32, like 33, 34, the car turns over like there's no problem.
So what happens when it doesn't start? It just goes...
Right. Yeah, I don't think it's the starter. I can, you know, it seems like it wants to turn over, but it doesn't. I've replaced the battery. I put dry gas in the tank. I checked the antifreeze. I don't know. What can it be?
So you haven't had anyone... I imagine this has been doing this for a while. The car's at 94. Did it just start?
Oh, no. It's several winters now. See, the thing is, I really... I just don't use the car. But I really don't need the car now. I'm retired.
Uh-huh.
I only put about 400 to 500 miles a year on the car now.
Really? Oh. I'm guessing mostly in the spring and summer, right?
Yeah. I just use it to go to the grocery store or the, you know, shopping mall.
And when it doesn't start, you say, what the heck, right?
How many miles are on this thing now?
Only 83,000 miles.
Have you ever, like, changed the spark plugs or anything like that?
See, that was done about 3-4 years ago.
Okay.
Oh,
I had a complete tune-up about 3-4 years ago, yeah.
Is the problem really that clearly defined at 32? Or, I mean, might it start at 32, but not at 31? Or is it, you know, always 32 degrees?
Well, maybe I'm exact.
Yeah, when it gets cold.
Yeah, it's around freezing.
Around freezing. Well, there are a lot of things that can cause this. I mean, there are a lot of serious things. And I'm going to give you the most serious one first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that you have low compression.
But at 83,000 miles, is that a common problem?
No, it isn't a common problem, so it's likely to be something else.
Mm-hmm.
This is fuel-injected, this engine.
Yes.
You know, so it's likely to be maybe a sensor that's faulty, okay? And it could be something as simple as the engine temperature sensor. You know, faulty and dirty injectors could cause that. If the injector spray pattern isn't adequate, then it doesn't vaporize the fuel enough. Will it start in the summer or in the fall? Sure, because almost anything will start. My brother's car runs in the summer.
You know, you're not kidding.
That's pretty old.
You know, so winter always complicates things because if the gasoline isn't vaporized enough and more of it condenses on the cold cylinder walls when in wintertime, then your chances of getting it started are smaller. Have you ever tried any extreme measures, like throwing a lit newspaper under the hood when you were trying to start it? Yeah. Well, there are things called starting fluid. Have you ever seen that stuff? It's basically ether in a can.
I think I used to use that when I had an older car than this, much older.
Oh, really?
Carburetor.
So how many cars have you owned in your lifetime? You're retired now, so you must be what? You're 67?
No. Actually, I'm just turned 60. About to be 60.
Good.
Well,
so you retired, you early retiree, you work for the post office?
You're good. Very good. Yeah.
So you're
you did.
So you retired from the post office. Your legs gave out, huh?
I admit to the crime.
So you retired from the post office at age 60. Pretty good country, huh?
Yeah, hey. And, my wife's still working, though.
Well, that's good. Boy, we're gonna hire you for your laugh. We love your laugh. Well, look, so you got a few bucks because your wife was working. Take this thing someplace, have them do a compression test, and have them test a couple of the sensors and maybe pull out an injector and see if the thing is, you know, got a reasonable pattern. And they may figure out pretty easily what's going on with it.
Okay, will this be costly? Or?
Of course.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you know, don't forget there are a lot of factors that go into starting a cold engine. If the starter, you said the starter motor's all right, the battery's all right, but you may not know that for sure.
Yeah.
You know, if the thing is cranking slowly, it may sound all right to you, but it may not be cranking fast enough to start. If the injectors aren't spraying the right pattern, it may be all right in warm weather, but not all right in cold weather.
But it does sound right to you. You turn the key, and it goes,
yeah.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah,
okay.
Yep. Well,
I'm sticking with bad compression. So that would be the first thing I would do. I would have the compression check just to make sure. So wait until April or so when it starts and drive it over to somebody.
Okay.
Good luck, Bob.
Thank you very much, guys. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. Hey, I snorted. Uh-oh. I'm going to be self-conscious.
You know, I don't notice it.
No?
I had no idea until I read that letter.
Did you notice I was naked today? See what happens?
I didn't notice that either.
888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255.
Stop it.
Well, you know, I think a snort is the next level up from laughing.
I mean, when is that it?
Yeah, when you snort, you're really enjoying a good laugh. I mean, a good laugh is like...
Yeah.
But a real good laugh is... I think that's the essence of a class 10 laugh.
Wow.
A snort.
It's interesting how little you notice if you're not paying attention.
888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Susan from Manchester, New Hampshire.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Manchester.
Good. I have a 2004 Scion XB.
Okay.
And I dropped my wedding band down in, I don't know, I guess it's the steering column, a little crack, because I had the steering wheel all the way down and in. I took it off to put some hand cream on because I'm a visiting nurse, and I dropped it and it fell down in there. And I'm hoping.
Oh, is this the little crack between the rest of the column and the wheel? In other words, when you turn the wheel, there's a crack right there that you can see right behind the steering wheel. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's probably sitting in a place now where it is not
where
likely
it will
to
never be seen again.
How important was this ring?
It was my wedding band.
Oh, you're still married?
Yeah.
For now, anyway.
Oh, and you took it off because you were putting hand cream on.
Yeah.
I guess that's a reason.
Yeah.
Sure.
So has it been noticed, by the way, that it's missing?
Oh, yes.
How long did it take your husband to notice this?
Oh, I told him.
Oh. But if you hadn't, how long do you think it might have taken?
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
quite a while, perhaps. I'm not sure.
I'm always, you know, when you live with somebody for a long time, things go unnoticed.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, for example, if I get a haircut.
Your wife never knows.
Never notices it. I've had occasions where I have shaved off a beard that I had for like 5, 6 years.
She didn't notice.
She didn't notice. You know, so he might not have noticed, but so there have been no repercussions since.
Well, he wants to go down into there now. He said, "Oh, I'll get it out."
Yeah.
He wants to take a piece of wire and go fishing around down in there. But...
Oh, bad idea. Yeah, bad idea. I think
because he might put it somewhere that you can't get it.
So it didn't fall out of the car? It's still in there?
No, it's still in the car. What he needs to do is take off the two pieces of plastic that surround all that mess of switches. You know, you have that switch that controls your headlights, your directionals, your windshield,
yeah.
and all that. Those switches are covered by two pieces of plastic, one from the top and one from the bottom. And I bet you if you remove the screws from the bottom that hold that bottom piece...
And you peek inside.
Well, I think when you remove that, the ring's going to fall out.
Oh, good.
Now, alternatively, if you wanted to be lazy, what I would do is I would
turn the car upside down.
Or you might want to try tapping that with the heel of your hand, and you may be able to even hear the ring bouncing around in there when you do that. And if you're lucky, it might just bounce right out, or short circuit the wiper switch. And and blow up the airbag. All kinds of exciting stuff can happen. But I would take that plastic off. It's easy.
That sounds good. I freaked out when it happened, and I started moving the steering wheel up and down and in and out.
Maybe if you take some sharp turns, it might come flying out. But you'd like to do it under controlled circumstances. So take off that plastic, and that piece will fall right out.
Oh, thank you.
All right,
good
Susan.
Luck. Let us know how it works.
Okay.
All right, let us know how many things you burn out. See you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Uh-oh, I did it again.
Oh.
You did.
I don't even notice it.
Okay, from now on, I'm not going to say anything.
Okay.
If you give the number.
Well, you know what? I need a stick. So every time you do it, whack you in the head.
A snort stick. Okay, I can't talk. You have to do
okay.
all the talk. Give the number.
Okay, I don't know the number.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Laverne from, this is Elon from Laverne, California.
Elon from Laverne, California. What is Laverne, California?
It's near Raging Waters, a famous water park here in Southern California.
What large metropolitan area is it near?
So it'd be in Los Angeles County.
Oh, LA County, okay.
I have a 2000 Tacoma, and it's a 4x4, and it's making a cricket sound, I think along the transmission somewhere. And when I press the clutch in just a little bit, the sound goes away.
Oh.
And it's annoying, and it's been for months.
Did you relocate to Southern California?
No. I actually bought this vehicle from a person from Texas, though. So I was born and raised in Laverne.
So you bought a four-wheel drive vehicle for what reason?
We go up to the mountains almost probably 40 days a year. So.
And the mountains have snow on them, huh?
Yes, lots of snow. Mammoth is our... 5 hours away, and it's a great mountain.
So you're a skier. You don't just go up there to slide around in the snow and get stuck.
No, definitely.
Because that's what I would do. I would drive up to the mountains just to get stuck.
Yeah.
Do you want to ski? No, I just wanted to get stuck and see if I could get out.
Well.
All right, so I guess you need four-wheel drive. The noise you're hearing is when now? When you step on the clutch?
Just a little bit, even.
Just a little bit? And what's the noise like again?
It's a cricket. It's a really annoying cricket sound.
And is it a noise that you can make absolutely go away if you step on the clutch harder?
Exactly. It'll go away if I just even a millimeter down.
So how many miles do you have on this thing?
We are now up to 168,000.
Oh, so I don't feel bad telling you that very soon you're likely to need a clutch.
I actually did that at 120, and that's why I'm really surprised this noise is coming.
I feel very bad about telling you that you're very soon you're actually going to need a clutch. Oh.
Oh, no.
Well, it's most likely to be the clutch release bearing.
Okay.
When the clutch release bearing first makes contact with the fingers of the clutch, that is when you gently step on the pedal, that's when you're getting the noise. Okay.
Mm.
And then when you further disengage the clutch by pressing more on the pedal and forcing this bearing into those rotating fingers, the noise goes away. Now, so it's likely that that's what it is, but there's a possibility that it is the pivot point on the fork. It might be that when you first step on it, that fork, which rests on a little metal ball, is oscillating
vibrating.
Back and forth and making that squeaking noise.
I would forget about it.
Well, you could forget about it, but it's bothering him.
Well, you have very little occasion to put your foot lightly on the clutch. Put your foot on the clutch and do something. Don't just rest
Don't
your
just
foot
sit
there.
There.
Yeah. Push the thing down. You'll never hear it again. So I think you forget about it.
Well, I tend to agree with that. Although I hate to agree with my. Well, here's what you can do.
I hate to agree with my brother.
I really do. Look at it alone. Take the thing to your shop and ask them if they can lubricate the pivot on the clutch fork, because you think that may be the cause of the problem, and if that doesn't solve it,
forget about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
See you later. Don't break a leg skiing.
And you know what? I noticed the snort just a couple weeks ago. And it's not annoying at all. And I don't think you should be self-conscious at all.
I'm starting to get a snort complex. Jeez, okay. Well, I'm glad you're not bothered by it.
Appreciate it.
See you. Thanks for your call. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Hey, what are the chances, Tomas, that you remember last week's puzzler?
Oh, I would say that the chances are slim. Very slim. Extremely slim.
I think you're still being very overly optimistic.
All right. Give me a hint then.
Okay. It was a math puzzler that involved either algebra or guesswork.
I have expertise in both areas.
Well, stay tuned then, because I'll have the whole story and we'll take more car questions from our listeners in just a minute.
I drive a small Japanese truck and I'm running out of luck. Because everybody's passing me. And when I pull up to a light, I know it just ain't right. Because I'm always the last to leave. And if I drive down to L.A., I'm bound to cause delay. Because I just drive too slow. But if I take you to the hills, my little Japanese truck is guaranteed to give you thrills. Because there ain't no place it won't go. And I'm looking for a woman. One that ain't too tall. She better dig my little underpowered truck and know that a 6-foot bed is not too small.
And even though the EPA broadens its definition of air pollution whenever we say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah.
And this puzzler, I wouldn't say it's algebraic in nature, but it certainly was mathematical. I mean, there may be a way to solve it algebraically, but I didn't. Here it is. Every two-digit number can be expressed as AB, where A is the tens digit and B is the ones digit. So, for example, take the number 43. A would be 4 and B would be 3.
Yeah.
You with me? So AB
I'm beginning
would be
to remember.
43. Really? Oh, my God. Now, I know of a number AB that if you square it, you end up with a three-digit number represented by CAB.
Ah.
In other words, when you square AB, those same two digits, A and B, end up as the last two digits of the resulting three-digit number.
Yeah.
So if AB was, say, 43, which it's not, the square might be something like 943, which it's not.
Yeah.
But you got the idea.
I do have the idea.
So the question is, what's the value of C? I don't want to know what AB are.
You don't?
No.
Wow.
Well, look, let's see. Let's look at what we know, right?
Yeah.
For CAB and AB to end with the same digit B, B must be either 0, 1, 5, or 6. Right? Can't be 3, for example.
Yeah.
B with 3, then the B would, and then the, when you squared it, it would be
0,
9.
0, 1,
5, or 6.
Oh, 6,
right?
Yeah.
6, 6 is a 36, 5, 5 is a 25.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Right? 1 times 1 is 1. Also, since CAB is less than 1,000, right, AB must be less than 32. Because 32 squared is 1,024.
Oh.
Right? And we can't have a four-digit number. We're only good for three digits.
We're only good for three.
So there are only 9 possibilities then for AB. So we narrowed it down from 99 down to 9. It can be 10, 15, 16, 20, 21, 25, 26, 30, or 31. Those are the only 9 possibilities. And we eliminate a bunch of them right away. 10, 20, and 30 we eliminate, because 10 squared is 100. It would have to be 110. 20 squared is 400. That doesn't work. So 10, 20, and 30 are out. 15 is out because it's 225. And the only one that works is 25. If AB is 25, then C is 6. 625 is the square of 25. Not bad,
what?
Huh?
Not, no, that's not bad.
Do we have a winner?
No.
Yeah, we don't have a winner?
We do. The winner this week is Matthew Phelps from San Clemente, California, and for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Matthew's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get our latest 4-CD set featuring 4 of our all-time favorite shows.
And what's that collection called?
It's called Field Guide to the North American Wacko.
And who better to identify that North American Wacko than the president of the Mutual Aid Society, my brother?
That's right. Congratulations, Matt.
We'll have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so stay tuned. In the meantime, if you have a car question, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Alan in Denver.
Hi, Alan in Denver. What's going on, man?
Well, before we discuss my car, I am by profession an ear, nose, and throat specialist.
Ah, really?
And I understand Ray's having a snorting or airway issue.
Yeah.
An airway issue. Was that what that's called?
Yeah, I think maybe you ought to see a doctor.
Well, I have.
Okay.
Oh, really?
What do you think it is?
No, the concern is you could have sleep apnea or something like that. It's probably just your uvula or something in the back of your throat, but maybe it should be looked at.
Oh, I was going to have that uvula thing removed. You don't need that, do you?
Some do, some don't.
Some do and some don't. You know, I have snorted my whole life.
Then I guess I'd give you a pass on.
If I snort for you, can you give me some more information? I mean, obviously, without a full examination, I'd hate to put you on the spot, Doc.
I'm supposed to tell you the sound my car's making, and you're supposed to tell me.
Well, you can do that later. This is more important. So here, listen to this, and let me know if you think I have a problem.
That's pretty serious.
That's our pet pig.
In my medical opinion, it sounds bad, and I don't know what it is.
All right, you're off the hook. Do you have a question about your car now?
Yes. The problem I have is that my 2004 Lincoln Aviator is starting to sound like my mother.
Oh, and how so?
Well, my mother, who's 83 years old, is too polite to ever complain about my driving, and she does a couple of things when I'm trailing behind people too closely for her comfort. One is she'll sit in the front seat and stamp her foot on the floor as if she's hitting the brake repeatedly.
Yes, we do that when my brother drives.
But the second thing she does is that when you still don't slow down or you're trailing too closely, she'll start making this kind of whooping noise. She'll kind of go whoop, whoop.
Really?
Well, that's like a sonar alert. Right? Yeah. So does the whooping increase in frequency as you get closer and closer? Whoop, 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 whoop.
You know, I think it does. Oh. But a few months ago, this started happening in my car. As I was driving my car, and usually it's on a warm afternoon, I'll hear over my back, over my right shoulder, this kind of intermittent whoop kind of noise. And I look back, and I'm looking for Gladys in the back seat, and she's not there. She lives 2,000 miles away. It sounds like it's coming from the gas tank area, and it seems to happen more on warm afternoons when the gas tank's about 2/3 full.
Right.
And I'm wondering if it's anything serious or something totally benign.
It might be totally benign.
And it just happens once.
It'll happen maybe 3 or 4 times in succession and then stop.
Okay.
Oh, and it's loud enough so that you can hear it even at highway speed.
Yes.
It sounds like there's something wrong with your evaporative emission system. And you know what happens, and you described it, the tank is close to full, the gasoline expands. When it expands, it also creates pressure, which pushes the vapor that's in the tank into this canister. And the canister might not be able to take the pressure. There's a pressure relief valve, and it's supposed to be able to hold this pressure. And if it can't, it'll let it out. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like passing gas.
So to speak. It is gas.
And I'm surprised that your check engine light hasn't come on. Or has
it? No, it never has.
It never has. It may be something benign. I mean, it's not necessarily going to affect the way the thing runs. But if it's not doing its job in keeping the vapors in check, and keeping them contained within the system, then it's allowing these vapors to escape into the atmosphere. And you don't want that to happen because it's creating pollution. The whole system was designed to prevent this from happening, and you're letting it happen, so you're going to get it fixed.
Okay, so I'll get my gas tank checked out, and you'll get your throat checked out, and everything will be fine.
Yeah, and by the way, I think my snort is more a nasal snort.
Okay. There are some people who just kind of do this stuff habitually, and they don't have any organic pathology.
Uh-huh.
I like that. Well, I'm an organic gardener. Does that...
Alan, we'll hope for that.
Okay.
Thanks for your help. I'm
Thanks
sure you helped me more than we helped you.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
888. I did it again. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Amy from North Waterboro, Maine.
Amy from North Waterboro.
Yeah.
Where is Waterboro?
The best way I can describe it to people from out of state is it's 40 minutes northwest from Kennebunk, Maine.
All right.
How far is it, say, from Boston?
It's about maybe two and a half hours, because I actually went down to your Bear City this summer.
Oh, you did?
And I stared up at your building and drooled and took pictures.
So what's going on, Amy?
I have a 2005 Chevy Malibu Classic with 56,000 miles on it. And every time I make a sharp left turn, probably from a fast road and probably somebody on my tail a little bit too closely, the car makes this really awful noise, like kind of an engine brake kind of noise, but grinding, like a noise.
But it only occurs after you've completed this hard, high-speed turn. Is that true?
It's during the turn.
Right. Okay, it's during the turn.
So you're driving along at 60 miles an hour.
And you say, oh, I missed the exit.
Not 60. I'm on the sticks. It's probably about like 40 miles an hour, maybe 35, 30.
Okay. And you're going to take a sharp left turn, you said?
I'm taking like a left turn.
But it could be a right turn also?
I've never encountered this with a right turn.
I've
been trying to mimic this with a right turn, and it's not happening yet.
So you take the left turn, and this horrible sound, what does it seem like it's coming from?
Right front.
I have no clue, but it always sounded like the left to me. But it's kind of that kind of loud.
Is it a scraping kind of noise?
It's kind of like a scraping, I can't even do it.
But is it metallic and rotational, like?
No, it's like a.
Ooh, I like that.
That was good.
Were you just clearing your throat, or was that the actual noise? Because that sounded great.
I wish it was the actual noise, because then you guys would know. But the only way I could capture that noise is by going out and driving and putting the phone like somewhere near the wheel well.
Yeah. Has anyone ever been with you when you heard this noise?
It's been me in the car sometimes, and my husband's in the car sometimes. Like, I give him the evil eye, like, get this fixed.
But he's obviously not nearly as concerned about it as you are.
I think he's a little bit more concerned about the grand he's going to have to sink into his Jeep. But
he hasn't commented on what side of the car he thinks the noise is coming from.
No, he hasn't.
So. Okay.
I'm a more car technical person out of the relationship.
Well, evidently, yeah. Well, I mean, I dismiss the possibility of a wheel bearing, because even if a wheel bearing were bad enough to make that kind of noise, it would make some kind of noise even when you were going on a
straight away
on a smooth road. You'd hear something.
And I don't notice it then.
The other thing that makes this noise often is the disc rotors when there's a lot of load applied on a hard turn at high speed. The brake discs can deform enough so that they will actually make contact with the dust shield that's behind them, which is made out of very thin sheet metal, and it can make this awful scraping sound. And the easiest way to discern if that's in fact happening is to take the two front wheels apart, you know, have your mechanic pull the wheels off and pull the rotors off, and see if there's any evidence that the dust shield has been hit. You know, and it could also be one of the axles hitting something. It could be the axle hitting the lower control arm, for example, when you're making this hard turn. Again, anything like that, you will see evidence of. But someone's going to have to put it on the lift and look. But the grinding, scraping noise that you made for us seems to suggest it's a piece of metal touching another piece of metal.
Yeah.
And I think it's the disc rotor touching that dust cover.
Okay.
That's what I think it is. But you do want to make sure that nothing is falling off, and there's always that possibility.
Yeah.
And you want to slow down, Amy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your husband, he never hears this noise when he drives because he doesn't drive like a nut.
No, my husband drives like a bigger nut than I do.
Do you drive like nuts because you live way up in the sticks up there and you're bored? I mean, you if you need to some kind of intellectual stimulation, you can come to Boston more often and we'll have coffee together or something. And
I used to go down. I used to hang out in Porta Square all the time.
There you go.
And yeah, so I definitely know the area. I know a few great places to get some coffee, though I'm certain you know better than I do.
Well, all right. Well, next time you come down, bring the car. One of us will go take a ride, and we'll come back, and we'll figure it out.
You're going to have to fetch it at Alewife, because I don't drive in town.
All right. We'll meet you at Alewife Station. Good luck, Amy.
Sweet.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
It's interesting how long people can go with a noise like that and think about it and worry about it and not do anything about it.
Well, look how many years I've been with you. 888-227-8255. Oh, yeah. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Charlie from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Charlie, how are you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad.
We're good. What's going on, man?
Hey, I got a problem with my daughter's car. It's a 2001 Honda Accord. When she gets out of the car, after she shuts the engine off, she goes to lock it, she gets zapped.
Yeah.
Ah.
We did try to spray the seats with Scotchgard. I was kind of told to try that. And a matter of fact, it's almost worse now. What's going on?
Well, we test drive all different kinds of cars. And there are some cars. This is a winter problem, by the way. This is not a problem that she's had in the warmer weather. Is that true?
Is that right?
That's true. She's in California, so it's not real cold.
It's not real cold. Well, I get this all the time in the winter, and it varies from car to car. There are some cars where I don't get it, but lots of cars where I do. And I think it's because the tires build up a charge because there's not enough conductivity in them to release the static charge that builds up as the tires drive on the road. And it's probably because of the composition of the low rolling resistance rubber that they're trying to put into tires.
Are you sure it's not the pants you're wearing?
It isn't the pants. I've tried driving naked. Well, I have. Late at night, you know, none of the neighbors are around.
Well, who's going to notice?
Who's going to notice, you know? You get in the car, you slip off your jammies, you go around the block a few times, you get out and zip. Yeah, so it is very painful. And there are various things. It's probably the tires that are doing it. And if she replaced her tires recently, if it's an 01, my guess is that she's on her second set of tires.
Probably.
And it's that set of tires that's doing it. She could go back if the tires are relatively new and ask them to exchange them for something else that might not give her the shock. Alternatively, you can hang ground straps from the underbody of the car that touch the ground.
Huh.
Okay, so as you create this static charge, it gets discharged into the ground. It's a job that the tires are supposed to be doing, but they're not doing. And what happens when you get out of the car, because you're charged up, you're discharging against some metal piece of the car.
Right.
And it's a pretty substantial charge.
Oh, yeah.
It hurts.
Yeah, and if you take it back to the place where you bought the tires, they'll put the straps on for you.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah,
we appreciate you guys. My wife listens to you all the time.
Thanks, Charlie.
Charlie, it's been a pleasure talking to you, too.
You bet. Bye now.
See ya. Bye, Charlie. Hey, look, before we get to the new puzzler, and I know you can't wait, we have to take a short break.
First, I got a letter to read.
Oh, what is this, another insulting letter from a listener? I can't take another one.
Au contraire, Piston Puss. This is from a teacher who says we have made a positive contribution to the education of America's youth.
Oh, really?
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, of course.
Here it is. Dear guys, the school where I work has, quote, awarded me with teaching Saturday school. These kids aren't there because they love my teaching. They're assigned to me when they misbehave during the week. So I give them various assignments. But mid-morning, everything stops. We all gather around the radio and listen to Car Talk.
Wow.
I think word has gotten around. So far, I have no repeat offenders. Thanks.
One listen to Car Talk, and it's a straight and narrow for those kids.
It's signed Tony Wyatt.
All right. Look, when we come back, I'll have the new puzzler, which is from my David and Goliath series.
Yeah. And we'll have more of your car questions, too, so please stay tuned.
3, 4, spent all my money on a pretty old car. Can't buy no gas, so I can't go far. We can just sit and look real nice. This pretty old car was sure worth the price. Here we sit in my pretty old car, kiss and drink moonshine from a jar. Can't buy no gas, so we park on the curb. A sign on the dash says, do not disturb. Pretty old car, pretty old car, pretty old car, pretty old car.
And even though dung beetles pause for a moment of professional courtesy whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler. And the crux of this was sent in by a fellow named Hugh Rowlands.
Oh, and just the crux. And you took care of the rest?
Oh, yeah, I added the crux.
Okay.
So here goes.
Let's go.
Back in the 60s, I had the misfortune of living across the street from the world's biggest and most insufferable Motorhead. You know, American muscle cars were just coming into their own in the 60s, and this guy had jumped in with both feet. Well, hardly a week went by without my having to listen to this guy's latest automotive exploit. As luck would have it, we had just outside of town an abandoned stretch of highway. I think they started building the highway, and then they ran into a mountain, and they stopped, but that's another story. Anyway, it was straight and flat for miles, and the perfect place for my neighbor and his kind to race each other in their Chevys and Dodges and Pontiacs and Fords. Now you're getting the David and Goliath thing.
Yeah.
I was never invited to race, even though my car had a 4-speed manual transmission. My neighbor and his pals looked with scorn and disdain and maybe even pity at my car. For although it did have a 4-speed transmission like lots of theirs, it had a 3-cylinder engine. It was a sob. They also poked fun at my pocket protector and my slide rule. And, you know, I guess I was kind of a nerd. And I just had to shut them up. So I challenged my neighbor to a race. My sob versus his muscle car.
Wow.
Right there, right now, on that highway to nowhere. Just one condition. We race in reverse.
No,
that's right.
Kidding.
Backing up. He thought about it for a second and he said, sure, what do I care? I'll go backwards, forwards. I'll race you any way you want. Now, I didn't possess any particular prowess insofar as driving in reverse, nor was I aware of any particular handicap on his part. So at high noon, there we were, engines running, our rear bumpers inched up to the starting line, awaiting the signal. And then we were off. Within a minute, he was so far ahead, I thought he had driven off the road. But little by little, I closed the gap until finally I caught up to him and actually passed him. His engine was straining, was on the verge of self-destruction with that tachometer at the red line as he watched me cross the finish line first. They all stood there in awe. I think I even brandished my slide rule. You know, I don't remember exactly, but I do know I popped two buttons on my flannel shirt that day. How did I do it? How did I beat him in reverse with my sob? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the installation order for an 8x15 indoor residential endless pool system with 5-horsepower water propulsion system, aqua aerobics exercise bar, automatic retractable security cover, digital controls, underwater swim mirror for an angled view of stroke, and revolutionary swim MP3 bone conduction technology audio system, whatever that is, and send it along with one size 28 and one size 58 Speedo. To Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, how you doing?
Hi.
Good, who's this?
This is Tony from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hey, Tony from Jacksonville. What's
cooking?
Jacksonville.
Cookin'?
All right, let me tell you. I got an 07 Honda Accord that I bought last year, and now the driver window is the only one that goes up and down. But when I click the button for the other windows, you can hear the motor click, but it just doesn't go down.
And that happens for any of the other windows?
They used to go down and up, but sometimes, one time they got stuck. But when it went back up, I just put the window lock on, so I was like, you know, forget it. If I don't want it to get stuck again.
Yeah.
Oh, so you, so when they stop, when the other three windows stopped working, you put the window lock on at the driver's control so nobody could operate those windows except for you.
Exactly, exactly.
And now you can't even do it.
Now even I can't do it. But when you hit the button, you could hear the click, click, click noise.
Yeah.
But the windows just doesn't go down.
Jeez, it's gotta be that. Mm. It's gotta be that switch, that master switch. Have you tried the time-honored method, Tony? of hitting the thing.
I haven't tried banging the switch. No, oh, I haven't tried that.
You gotta do that. Is the car outside right now?
Yeah, it's outside.
Oh, wait a minute. This car is a brand new car.
I know.
It's going to be covered by warranty.
Exactly. No, it's not under warranty because there's only 36,000-mile warranty, and I've got 40 on it.
Oh. Well, do you want to run outside and give it a whack and let us know if anything happens?
No, no. Wait. First of all, I would take it to the dealer. So they, do you know that they refused to honor it under the warranty?
No, I never took it over. Oh,
I would take it over. I think as a goodwill gesture and to maintain the good name of Honda Motor Car Company, they will fix this for free for you.
You think so?
I think so. And you're so disappointed that the other five friends of yours that you're going to take in next Saturday to buy Hondas are not going to come in to buy Hondas now. Yeah, I would go back to them and say, I'm very disappointed. And there may be a bulletin. There may be a loose wire someplace. But what you, the noise you hear when you try to operate the... Oh,
yes.
Tony, you outside banging on the switch?
I'm banging on the switch right now.
Oh, you are?
So what you need to do is hold one of the switches in the position where it will open the other window and bang on the side of the switch or the top of the switch. What are you hitting it with? Your shoe?
No, I'm hitting it with my fist.
Hitting it with your fist. And,
oh, okay.
All right, so I'm going to give this a bang here.
It's amazing what you can get people to do when you're on the radio, isn't it?
Nothing's happening. It's still clicking.
You're hearing a clicking coming from the switch.
Yeah.
You're probably not hitting it hard enough.
Well, geez, I don't know how hard I have to hit it.
No, you don't want to break anything because then they won't honor the warranty.
Yeah,
they'll
exactly
say, who told you to whack this thing? You said those two idiots on the radio.
Yeah, it's still not doing it.
No, it's the switch.
It's the switch. So I'm going to just take it back over there.
I would take it back.
You know, fix it. I'm going to call these guys back at Car Talk.
Yeah. Exactly.
Give you a bad reputation.
Exactly.
Exactly. That's it.
Well, I think you should, when they do fix it, I think you should call us back to let us know how well they treated you.
I will. I definitely will.
All right,
I
Tony.
Will. Thanks a lot, fellas. You guys have a great day.
You too. Good luck.
Good luck, man.
I'm sure I told this story before, but it's worth retelling. We got a call one night from our sister many years ago. She had been at a party. She was at a party.
I remember this.
And it was a cold, miserable
cold winter night.
Oh, yeah. A Bronco Nagurski long underwear night. And she called us at like 1 o'clock in the morning. She was leaving this party. Of course, the car wouldn't start. She said, I turned the key and I hear this faint little click, and it just won't turn over. And at the time, she had a Datsun or something,
yeah,
the precursor of the Nissan. And we said, look, it's probably the starter motor. Have somebody hit the starter motor with a broomstick or something like that while you try to start it, and that ought to get it going. And 3/4 hour later, we thought we were off the hook, and she calls back and says,
it didn't work.
Still didn't start. Come and rescue me. And we show up, and these guys who were at the party with her decided they were going to help out.
Yeah.
And I think the first blow knocked the wire off the starter. And they proceeded to beat this. they smashed the bejeebers out of it. And, of course, by that time, it was too late. But it's just, you can't be overzealous when you're doing things like this.
Well,
so I'm glad we stopped.
When you're trying to whack something, though, you got to do it.
You got to whack it.
You can't just do it sort of. Well, personally,
exactly.
Whack it.
Yeah, I think Tony knew to use restraint, especially if you think you're under warranty.
Yeah.
Anyway, 888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Karen from Boston.
Hi, Karen from
Karen,
Boston.
What part of Boston?
Wouldn't you like to know? But let me tell you about my problem.
Go ahead.
2001 Dodge Caravan SE. It runs fine.
An 01
but
Caravan?
But if you're riding
that
with me, you're going to look at gauges that read no numbers on the digital. The gas is empty. The engine's cold. And we're going 120 miles an hour. So what do you think my problem is?
Say this again.
Oh, so your entire instrument cluster is out.
Not the lights.
Not the lights, but all the gauges don't read.
That's correct.
Yeah, well, it could be a fuse. Have you checked the fuses?
Yes, some people have climbed over different fuse boxes from under the hood to under the...
Yeah, there's one under the dash, there's one under the hood, God knows where else.
Well, so if it's not that, any other idea?
Yeah, you probably need an instrument cluster.
Oh, okay, clusters of instruments.
Cluster, you did a cluster. It's one of the fourth day of Christmas. The third day of the cluster of instruments. I don't know, whatever. But I think that's what you need.
Very good.
And the easiest thing to do is just go and buy a used one.
The car's used already, so that makes sense.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah,
if
you have
told
no...
us where you lived, we'd tell you where to go, but not going to tell you now. You probably want to tell us where to go.
Jamaica Plain. You've heard
too
of that.
Late.
Did you guess?
No, we didn't.
JP.
But you typified most Bostonians, I think. Where do you live? You ain't gonna get that out of me. Anyway.
Wait a minute. Do we know any good junkyards in JP?
They're going fast all over Boston.
No, junkyards are disappearing.
Yeah, land value and environmental development. It's just running that to extinction.
Yeah, get the phone book out. You'll find one. But your mechanic's going to find one. Take it to your local gas station, the place where you get your vehicle service, and tell them you think you need an instrument cluster.
Very good. Thank you for that great tip. I'm so knowledgeable now.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Until
well,
I find
happy
out
holidays. Are you going to deck your tree with something car talk?
I'm going to deck my brother in a minute. See you, Karen.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22.
Those JP women. They're interesting, aren't they?
227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. Is it Louis from JP?
Yeah.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Jeff from Leadville, Colorado. How are you two?
From Leadville.
Yeah, we live up here at about 10,152 feet in the mountains, and it is snowing here.
Yeah.
I have an 85 Subaru DL wagon that I bought for $300. It's kind of an around-town
car.
Oh,
man.
I called you guys because I didn't want to spend more than I paid for the car to fix the car.
And it's a toll-free call, so far you ain't spent nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
All
Thank
right.
you.
How many miles on this beast?
It's got about 209,000 miles on it. In the summertime, it runs like a champ. But now that it's full-fledged winter up here, whenever it gets colder, it's funny. I fire it up in the morning, let it warm up just for a little bit, a minute, 2 minutes, just so it'll go.
Yeah.
It's carbureted, of course. And as I leave the street, I drive up the hill to the cross street to go to work or go to school. And as soon as I point the car uphill, it starts to kind of sputter. And I have one of the cylinders. I have this terrible exhaust leak that happened after I was going where I shouldn't have gone off-road with it this summer. And I know that one of the cylinders doesn't fire because that exhaust leak tells me so. So it's running on three cylinders most of the time, and then once I start going up the hill, then it just kind of putters and sputters to a stop, and it's driving me crazy. Well, I've discovered that I can pull over and take the top to the air cleaner box off, and it's got a little bit of fuel in there that I dry out and just let the air cleaner, I guess, dry out. And then after a couple of minutes of that, then it'll get going again.
So, and the other vehicle you drive when you're not driving this beauty...
my wife.
Your wife's car.
Yeah, it's a 95. It's a Honda Civic with fuel injection, and it goes just fine. No problem.
Yes.
I have no complaints about
yes,
Honda.
Yes, if you drive a fuel-injected car, all of these things are managed for you by the computer. You don't have to worry
right.
about it. Back in the old days...
Yeah, old days when they made your car.
Yeah, and when we first started doing the show back in the 70s, you had to caress and coddle and cater to a car. You couldn't just get in it and drive it. You had to learn how to throw it in neutral when you came to a stoplight so it wouldn't stall out. You had to learn how to feather the gas and gently when you wanted to accelerate from a dead stop. There were all kinds of tricks you had to learn.
Ah, those were the good old days.
Still the good old days for my brother because he still has a carbureted car. But it could be that your choke is simply set too rich. And
okay.
What's happening is you're not when you try to accelerate when the engine is not warmed up, the choke hasn't opened enough to let enough air in.
So there's too much fuel, obviously.
Too much fuel.
Then,
right. And then when you let it...
I live 2 miles up, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
So you
I think
need
when
you, air, man.
You need air, baby.
Yeah.
So I think what you need to do is lean out the choke. If you look on the carburetor, I believe there's a choke adjustment on the side. There are three screws you have to loosen, and you can turn the whole bimetallic... gizmo, the housing there, that holds the bimetallic strip, and as you do that, you'll see the choke either close more, in which case you're going in the wrong direction, or you'll see
okay.
it open more, which means you're going in the right direction.
Unfortunately, you have to do this in the snow.
Yeah, in the cold, yeah.
I mean,
it's snowing pretty hard.
If you lean out the choke too much, it just won't start. You'll pump the gas and turn the key and it won't start. If you go too rich, it'll start, but it'll flood out. So you have to find a happy medium. And you may have to adjust it like every 2 days. Alternatively, you could install a hand choke.
Like on a motorcycle, right?
Like on a motorcycle or I was thinking more a lawnmower. So you start the thing up in the choke position, and then as you see the engine and feel the engine starting to stumble because it's either too rich or too lean, you can adjust the choke and make it leaner. And you say, oh, that did it. It's running better. Off leaning it out doesn't make it run better. You pull on the thing and make the choke close more and enrich in the mixture, and it'll run better.
Yeah, I just go down to your local auto parts store, and they'll have one.
They will. They'll have a hand choke kit. Oh, yeah. They sell them all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll say, huh? Man.
Good luck, man.
Thank you guys very much.
Right,
good
thanks
luck.
For your call. Bye-bye.
That's a case where it's simple, but he's never going to find anyone.
Oh, he'll find the kid.
You think so?
No. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
I have?
Yes, indeed. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin the Barbarian and David Gibraltar Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our production assistant is Aaron Wax. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Chesapeake Bay, Vitamin A, Chicken Satay, Manta Ray, Consomme, Cafe Olé, and PB&J Lunchtime Sachet is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Our class attendance monitor is Julie Verley. Our director of preventive maintenance is Oscar Ruitt. Our snowboarding instructor from Sweden is Soren DeKeister. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Olympic team Jaywalkers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
And don't snort like me either. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 850, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce Division of our website, cartalk.com.
This week at cartalk.com, the Shameless Commerce Division is open for the holidays.
Open for the holidays? What are you talking about? It's a website. It's always open.
Good point. But since the holidays are upon us, you could say it's now open for the holidays, couldn't you?
Come on, this is just a cheap promotional gimmick of yours, isn't it? I mean, you're just trying to fool people into thinking that Car Talk CDs and books are acceptable substitutes for real holiday gifts. Isn't that what's really going on here?
Yeah.
Good work, man. Sales are dropping faster than my plumber's dockers.
Check out the Shameless Commerce Division for the holidays over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though power radio antennas suddenly retract whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.